As I said at the beginning of Mass, we celebrate the feast of St. John Henry Newman today, and I'm very excited to celebrate him today. We don't celebrate him in the States. I think there's a group of martyrs we celebrate instead. I can't remember who. But John Henry Newman is my confirmation saint, so I always like to bring him up as often as I possibly can. So today is a very joyful day for me and for all of us here in England. He's a local boy. He was born here in London. He actually went to school in Ealing. And earlier this morning, I was trying to figure out where he actually went to school. And it's confusing because the school used to be north of St. Mary's, which is the Anglican parish to the north of us. And then they moved to South Ealing. So I was trying to figure out which location he would have gone to school in, and I couldn't really figure it out. But anyway, he went to school in Ealing, and that's good enough. So who knows, he may have walked these very streets or walked by, or at least been familiar with this area, which puts us into connection with the fact that saints aren't people who are from long times ago or from faraway lands. The fact that he was only 200 years or so removed from us and lived here in this neighborhood goes to show us that God is calling people to holiness way back when, back in John Henry Newman's day, and he's calling us to holiness this day too. We also walk these streets and are familiar with this neighborhood, just like John Henry Newman was. So there's no reason why we can't be saints, just like John Henry Newman was himself. I think the first reading today applies to him very well. He was an exceptionally learned man. He knew scripture like the back of his hand. He knew the fathers of the church. He knew the history of the church. And this is one of the many reasons why he left the Anglican church that he loved so dearly and became Catholic. Because he saw Anglicanism as a good thing. That's where he learned how to pray. That's where he learned how to be part of a community of faith. It's where he met the Lord. He writes that he didn't really have an encounter with the Lord until he was a teenager. Before then, his faith was his parents, as was with most young people. But in his teenage years, he really had this literal come to Jesus moment where he felt that Jesus was a powerful personal presence in his life. And that happened when he was an Anglican. So he saw Anglicanism as a good thing. He learned many good things there. And I think we can look to the Anglicans and learn a lot of good things too. The importance of scripture, the importance of liturgy, the wonderful music that they have. These are all very good things. But for Newman, Catholicism was better. It's not that Anglicanism was bad per se, but Anglicanism was good, but Catholicism was better. Because the things that he cherished in his Anglican upbringing are actually Catholic things. Things that sometimes we forget about as Catholics. And so he saw his mission, one of his many missions, he saw one of his missions as helping Catholics remember the beauty of their faith, helping Catholics remember the truth of their faith. And we see this in his sermons, where he's reminding his listeners about little nuggets of the Catholic faith that they might have forgotten. One of those being the Immaculate Conception. He was a very strong defender of the Immaculate Conception before it was even announced as a dogma. He was very intent on making sure that Catholics knew that Our Lady was immaculate. And he preached about that in his homilies. And so we see a man who was preaching in season and out of season, as St. Paul tells Timothy. We see a man who loved his brethren, just like Jesus tells his disciples to do in the gospel. Just because he became Catholic doesn't mean that he cut off all of his Anglican friends. He was still friends with them. It made things a little awkward, to be sure, but he still corresponded with them. He still prayed for them. He still wanted to be friends with them. because he saw his Catholicism as something that fueled his whole life. It wasn't just something that he did on Sundays. It was something he did on Sundays, but it was something that he did every day. And that's something he wanted to show Catholics too, that our faith is all-encompassing. It takes every part of our life. He was a proponent of Catholic education and making sure that children received a Catholic education. Not Catholic in just that they received good catechism, but that the whole educational process was designed to create men and women of and for God. So he writes about how the university is supposed to produce scholars and gentlemen and saints. He saw all of these things as a good Catholic education. Not that you know your catechism, but that you're a good person and that you learn manners and etiquette and virtue, that you learn how to pray and you learn what it means to be a member of society. That society is more than just me and what I want, but it's about us being connected. It's about us being together. He worked with the poor. He worked with the poor and the lonely. He did so many things because he was a priest after God's own heart, and he took his priesthood very seriously. He took his Anglican ministry seriously when he was an Anglican, and so he built on that foundation of when he was actually a priest, being able to do priestly things. That doesn't mean that he had it easy. He didn't. He was sued for libel, and he was attacked in the press and newspapers, and he did lose friends. But he found joy in his Catholic faith, and in one of his letters, he writes that he had no doubts about becoming Catholic at all. He said usually when people convert, there's usually one or two things that they might have some issues with or qualms. And he said in his letter, I had no doubts whatsoever that this is what God was calling me to do. And in the same letter, he says, I believe everything the Catholic Church teaches. I believe everything that the Holy Father decrees or will decree. That was his faith. And he was a theologian. He wrote a lot, and that's one of the reasons why he's being proclaimed a doctor of the church. But I think he's a doctor of the church not just because of the things he wrote, but because of who he was as a person. He was someone who took his faith seriously. He was a normal person. He had his weaknesses. Apparently, he wasn't a very good public speaker. Apparently, his words were very good, but he would just read his homilies and wasn't very engaging with his audience. He was just a normal person that had his own struggles, that had his own problems, just like we are normal people with our own struggles and our own problems. But John Henry Newman shows us what it means to, with God's grace, work through all of those things. That just because we're normal people doesn't mean that God can't do extraordinary things through us and with us. And we see that in Newman. You know, he was a short little man, and yet he was a giant among men in that he did so much for God's kingdom. And he didn't really care what people thought of him, because for him, what God thought of him was the most important. And so his legacy lives on. It lives through these streets where he walked. It lives in Birmingham where he lived and where his shrine is. It lives on in the English people and in the church here. The fact that the bishops made this a feast, not just a memorial, but a feast, shows that he is very important to all of us, that he is a model of holiness in the modern age. And now that he will be a doctor of the church, what the Holy Father is saying is he's a model through the whole world of what it means to be holy, that what this man lived and taught is for all ages. And as we move forward in the decades and centuries and maybe even millennia to come, he will be a model to all the Christians now and who come after us of holiness. And it's remarkable to think that that model of holiness walked these streets and lived in this neighborhood. So maybe follow his example of being holy in our ordinary lives, being ordinary in these streets or whatever streets we may find ourselves in, that just because we're ordinary people doesn't mean that God can't do extraordinary things through us with the help of his love and with the help of his grace. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.